This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
We've got a guy named Riel, Lance, who's trying to call us from Italy. He's trying to call in from Italy.
Okay.
And he's going, hey, I'm making the pasta today. That's all I can do. I can't leave the house.
That's is he calling? Come on,
he's
put him on.
He's trying to call in. Riel, I don't know. I don't know.
Put him on. Boy, you guys are dead on Twitter today. I've never seen it this dead in my entire life.
I know.
There's been messages from
call out
two
Jackie.
People. Yeah,
let's Jackie. I got a response from him.
Let's go. At Lance Zierlein, at John Granato, our phone number 713-780-3776. And then Tyler, what's a text line, by the way? Give out the text line number because I'm going to get on the
got,
text line.
Text line is the same exact number you just gave out.
Text oh, line. You just text that number?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Well, if you want to, I'm going to pull up the text line. If you want to text the show, you can do that at 713-780-3776, and I'll look at that as well.
Adam is here from Italy. He's joining the show from Italy right now on ESPN. What's up, Adam?
Yeah,
how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, I used to call y'all back in the States when I was there. I'm here for work now, so fuck here.
So are you go there and then you have to sit, you go to work there and then they don't let you leave your place. You're quarantined, right?
Yeah, I'm quarantined.
Pretty much. When did you go there?
Last year.
Oh, last year. So you've been there. It's not like you said, hey, let me go to a place where no one can leave their place. So how long have you been quarantined?
About February? Yeah, February.
Yeah, I see you. I'm looking at your timeline right now. Here's March 2nd. I live in Italy, so it's very difficult to find someone to help me get to 5,500 comp. I don't even know what that is, but go ahead.
It's on a game. It's Destiny.
Yeah, I'm thinking that if you are, it looks like, yeah, if you are in February 22nd is I can tell that must be about the time that you guys got locked down.
Wow.
Yeah, it was probably about a week before that we knew we were going to be working from home. So.
So where are you? What city are you in?
Oh, it's Vicenza. It's near Venice.
Mm-hmm. Near Venice. And are you like, so mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of places where like opera singers will go out on their balcony and they'll sing to everybody. Are you in a place like that?
No. I'm kind of more in the countryside. It's good for me because I'm away from people.
So do you get to go to the store, or if you walk out on the street, you get arrested and beaten by the cops? What happens?
No, I work for DOD, so I just go to the base and shop there.
Oh, okay. So you get to go out some.
Yeah. We have to carry papers around with us to declare where we're going. So if we get pulled over, we hand them the papers and they read it, and then they let us go to where we need to go.
Yeah.
As long as we're going to a doctor or a grocery store, something like that, then it's okay. But if you're just kind of gallivanting around, yeah, you can get a ticket.
What do you do? So tell me what a day is like for you.
I get up and I start monitoring email and working from home, and pretty much till about 5 o'clock. 1700, and then I get off and kind of during that time I'm done with also helping with our kids' homework and things like that because everything's online. So
it's not that different than
tough,
here.
Tough space. Yeah, it basically we did everything y'all did 2 weeks before, or maybe 3 weeks before y'all did it. So
was it Italy's numbers were crazy? How scary was it whenever you saw those numbers skyrocketing?
Yeah, it was a little worrisome, just because my wife has like a autoimmune disease, and so I was kind of like, okay, I want to keep you home, and I was still going to work. I was driving in, and then they put out a thing saying, okay, everybody start telecommuting. So we started working from home and things. So. But, yeah, at first it was kind of like, you know, back in February, it's more like there was a big diverse group of either, yes, it's really bad, or no, it's just nothing more than a flu. So, and, you know, as the numbers started getting more and more inflated and people started realizing this is not a flu, it's a little worse. The morbidity rate is still low, but it just the infection rate is insanely high.
Yeah. Yeah. So you are able. So did you see the NFL draft?
I did. I watched some of it here, and I was up at 1 a.m. Watching some of it. But the thing I was calling about was I sent it to Lance. I couldn't find your name on Twitter, but the video of Bill O'Brien being the like one of the best GMs.
Yeah.
Did you see that video?
We've seen
on
that,
YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah. It's why Bill O'Brien is the best GM in the NFL, despite what others say. And it's basically, it's a parody. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That made me laugh. That made me feel good because, you know, I had to laugh about the situation because, man.
Yeah,
no,
O'Brien, whenever I heard.
Are you listening to this show in Italy?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Sweet. See, Lance, look how far-reaching we are. Oh, you were talking about our signal, Lance, and we're in Italy.
Huh. Yeah, it's
maybe
digital.
You don't know as much as you think you know.
It's
we
digital.
Go. You want to talk about blasting out east? That's us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So that's so really, it's funny. It almost sounds like the pandemic. When you get locked down, it turned your whole life into basically like just like living in the States. Nothing is going to be that much different for you once you have to be locked inside.
Right, yeah. Once you're locked inside, I mean, it's pretty much started here. They were, I think, the first places that were doing it was Korea. They were locking people down and trying to figure out. We were getting information from them that it was starting to work and flatten the curve. Because the exponential growth of people being out and about and communicating with each other and being within that 6 feet radius was just an explosion. One person was infecting up to like 50 people.
It seems like the Italians are inside
insane.
It seems like the Italians, this is totally a stereotype from everything I've seen on TV, but it seems like they're going to be inside that 6 feet quite a bit, aggressively inside the 6 feet when they talk to each other.
Yeah, I mean, they're not super close talkers, but okay. They, you know, some do. So it's kind of like everywhere, you know, you get people that talk close and other people don't. A lot of times, as you know, Italians talk with their hands, so you kind of have to give a little more space because they might hit you with your hand while you're talking.
So I want to do
racist,
a little test.
Just a little racist right there. That's all.
I want to do a little test to see
that's
how
okay.
different
my family's from Napoli. My family is right from like right around Naples. So.
Oh, you're good. You can
then
do it.
You can do that. Then you can do that, Adam.
So let me ask you this question: in Houston, we had the NFL draft that we could see. For all 3 days, and then we had record numbers. Could you also see the draft in Italy for all 3 days?
Not all three. It was on. So we have something called AFN Network. And it's a Armed Forces Network, and so we get it on satellite. And they'll pipe in like certain shows on sports, but it's just kind of different, random things. You only get like six to nine channels. I can't remember. Exactly. So I caught one of the shows on, and it was like I think day two, and I was watching the Texans.
Okay,
they were gonna do with that 40th pick.
Let me ask you this, okay? So in Houston, Bill O'Brien has made a number of questionable moves, like trading DeAndre Hopkins. Did he also trade DeAndre Hopkins for a second round pick in Italy? Did that also come through that it was a second round pick in Italy, or was it reported that we got two firsts?
No, they actually reported that it was for a third and a fourth because that's how bad the trade was.
Yeah, that sounds, yeah. See, the Italy, and that's the conversion rate. That's the conversion rate, too.
Yeah, the conversion.
You have to know what the conversion rate looks like. In Italy, did you have any kind of a feel in Italy about signing guys with concussion, like trading a second for guys with concussion issues? Did that make it to Italy that Brandon Cooks had four, or did he not have four concussions in 2 years in Italy Brandon Cooks?
What they said was that if you trade for fragile people, then your franchise becomes fragile. So you end up,
that's also on a.
If you trade for the fragile guy.
Are you sure that wasn't on a. Fragile. You sure that sounds like something that was inside of a fortune cookie?
A fortune cookie?
You trade for fragile people. Your relationship, your organization becomes fragile.
That might have been. So
like Italy's the same as here.
So now it's what time there? What time you got there? 4 o'clock, three in the afternoon? What is it?
1500.
It's 1500.
We're 7 hours ahead.
For people that speak English, that's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Okay, so
no.
It's
Oh yeah, 15. Yeah, 12:03. Yeah.
Yeah. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So while you're working, you listen to this show while you're doing your stuff on your laptop.
Yep,
and you get a little
not so every day, but the days that I can kind of do both, I do.
So you're from Houston originally?
Yeah, remember I called y'all show like a couple times at ATOM. That didn't ring a bell. I used to call whenever you were working with Sean Salisbury and several different people.
Yeah, never heard of it.
I don't know who that is. I don't know what you're...
Hold on. Is this you popping and locking? I see it right on your video, and you sent it to ESPN
975. Yeah, that's me.
That's from 2017. Yeah, that's 3 years
white
ago.
White guys can dance, too.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah, white guys can dance, too. Yep.
That's you. 26 views, I see.
You're popping and locking?
Not 27. Yeah, he's popping and locking.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. I gotta find
he that. Sent that to Barry.
Oh,
he said it to Barry.
Yeah, because Barry, I think he was talking about white guys couldn't dance. So I started off listening to, I think it was called The Rush back in the day. And it was, Tanaka something. I can't remember her name. Julie something.
Yeah.
And then Fred, Fred Dukes, I think, or Frank Dukes.
No.
I was listening to them. And
Carl
then,
Dukes.
Go ahead.
Carl Dukes.
I'm actually doing his radio show in Atlanta today.
You are?
Yeah. Or no, I don't know.
Nice.
Next week sometime.
And that's where, and that's who you started
with. Fred and AJ
with, yeah.
took over for them.
Right. Yeah, back in the day,
then,
bro.
So I was listening to Fred. Yeah, and I was listening to Fred and AJ, and then they turned into the Blitz, and then I started listening to y'all. Well, it wasn't you and Lance, it was you and like smorgasbord of people. Can remember all the different names, but it finally ended up being you and Sean, and that was awesome. And then now you and Lance, which is awesome as well. And I also listened to Barry and Joel. So.
Yeah. You got a lot of bodybuilders on your Twitter handle, on your Twitter.
Yeah, I do some bodybuilding.
You do? Sweet. Sweet. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, hey, man, Adam, we appreciate you hanging and listening to the show all the way from Italy. Do you see the effort that Adam is making, all the rest of you out there? Okay, he's all the way in Italy listening to the show. So I don't want to hear about, I'm in Katie. He's in Italy listening to the show, okay? That's how hard Adam is working for us. We appreciate it, man. Stay safe. And hopefully you guys will get out of your quarantine in the next couple of years. He's done. Adam with us right here on ESPN. From Italy. Yeah. I don't want to hear about Katie, okay? Sugar Lanny. Dude is making an effort. That's what you got to do around here. As the sun, as the ground.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Let's. I am looking in. Thanks to Adam for listening in. And now go work out, Adam. I'm looking at a. There's a couple of things about this. Every team's biggest controversy solved. Like for the Yankees, is Derek Jeter overrated? For the Rangers, what happens to baseball if the Rangers don't bid against themselves and give A-Rod $255 million? Were the even-year Giants a dynasty? Are the 90s Braves a dynasty despite winning only one World Series?
I kind of felt like they were.
Yeah. Yeah, no. They definitely were. And for the Astros, it's how long will the 2017 World Series title be tarnished? And his answer is that it will always be tarnished. Will be 100 years be bigger villain in the 2017 Astros will in 100 years be bigger villains than they are today. But here's something that he says, and
wait,
he goes through
say
the
that
whole
again.
Argument.
Say that part again.
In 100 years, just like the 1919 Black Sox, the Astros will be bigger villains than they are today.
No. Steroids
well,
not bigger villains.
We don't know because it's 100 years from now. But
well, no,
I
steroids.
Do.
Steroids.
I will suggest. I know, but it's not steroids. Everybody's been already. Everybody's okay, and not. Well, right. They're still not in the Hall of Fame, and we'll see if they ever do get into the Hall of Fame. The steroids guys. My guess is that they will. I think Barry Bonds will, and Roger Clemens will. But we'll see if Jose Altuve does. We'll see. It'll all still be decided. But then we still remember the 1919 Black Sox. And I think the Astros are going to be in that same neighborhood, if not even worse than the 1919 Black Sox. But he does say this, and he goes through the whole thing. For Astros fans, the title is good. You're all good. You don't have to answer for what your team did. We're fans specifically because we're not participants. The detachment between what the teams do and what we do is what makes fandom such a mystical, suspenseful, and ultimately tolerable, blah, blah, blah. If you're an Astros fan who was specifically rooting for them to win by cheating, you probably have a personal journey to go on. But otherwise, no fan should be found complicit in their team's sins. If you enjoyed watching that title, you never need to feel a moment's guilt about it. And I wholeheartedly agree, but I feel a tinge every time I think about them. I feel a tinge of remorse for them. We're working on getting Carlos Correa. I think I'm gonna have we're gonna have him on. If not tomorrow, we're working on getting him next week. Mm-hmm. But I feel a tinge of that. There's always in the background that there's always that damn that there's always that. Man, I feel bad that you guys did what you did. You deserve your punishment for it. But I just feel bad that it has to be tainted for you because you worked so hard. You did cheat, but you worked hard and you won and you did it and you guys succeeded. And it was such a wonderful, wonderful thing at the time. And now it's got all of this crap around it.
Well, that's different than what you're talking about previously, where he said, like, I don't feel any tinge of guilt or remorse. As a fan, 0%. And he's right. He said, you shouldn't feel any. Good, I don't.
I don't feel any guilt, but I feel bad for them.
I don't know. I guess I just don't feel anything towards them in that regard, like where I think about how must this feel for them? I don't know. I don't think of it.
You don't?
No, not really. I mean, they live their lives. They've got their money. They've got their lives. I think of it from a team standpoint. I do feel, I guess from, okay, I can see what you're saying from, I'm not thinking individually. From a team standpoint, what I do is I think it sucks that they're not going to be known as this great baseball team.
Right.
They have lost that. That has been tarnished. Acknowledge that.
They were considered, that team was considered one of the best teams of, you know, maybe a top 10 team all time. Their hitting, their pitching, their wins, everything about them. Everything
the
about
bullpen.
That team. Yeah, well, I mean, that's it's all arguable. No. But their numbers statistically put them
yeah.
as one of the best teams of all time.
Well, that's what makes it tricky.
And it's all, and that's all taken away. And whenever you talk about the 2017 title, there is in the back, no matter how much fun we had and all how good, there is that thing that is that it is tainted. That it is. There is a tinge of
taint.
But we
found out 2 years later. Had we found out a year later, I think it would have been way, way worse. 2 years later, I had some separation. Not only – I had already, as a fan, won a World Series, lost a World Series, and gotten knocked out by the Red Sox. Had it been the very next year that I had found out in the middle of the 18 season, that would have been way different. That would have been, like, way, way close. By the time I found this stuff out, man, we had already been through – I'd already lost a World Series where a bad decision was made, and or a few, and gotten knocked out because David Price found himself. You know, as far as I'm concerned, it's yes, they will be. The thing that concerns me is when you talked about them being an all-time great team. Their pitching was pretty good in 17. It was pretty good. They didn't have Gerrit Cole knocking people around, but it was pretty good. The best pitcher wasn't great towards the end. Justin Verlander in the World Series, he was early in the playoffs. But what made that team special is they had an historic offense.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, what is tied to the Astros is advantages that were found out that involved their offense. So it always is going to dirty it a little bit. It doesn't mean I feel guilty about cheering for them. Doesn't mean any of that stuff. But if you're being realistic and honest about it, you do have to think, huh, I wonder if this was an historic offense because they had advantages on a certain amount of pitches or in certain games. I think it's possible. I think it's possible that, you know, that the offense was 5% better, 6% better, whatever the percentage would be if you could quantify something like that.
Right.
But, John, for me.
Yeah, I think it's overblown, but yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I think the impact of what they were doing is overblown. But that, you know, and people say the same thing about the steroids, and yet I would argue no. Steroids definitely help.
That spanned multiple seasons, John.
Yeah.
There's no
not even that. But they say the effect of no.
Bull
if
crap,
you can hit the ball further, if you can hit the ball further and harder, and you know, and
this
and
steroid thing is perpetrated by one group of people, John. Those who want to intensify the anger and the ire about the Astros. This is the only reason we have an entire control group of steroid users. We've got Barry Bonds' numbers. We've got Mark McGwire's numbers. We've got Sammy Sosa's numbers. They are the control group. They are the control group. We've got their numbers pre and post steroids. We know what kind of an impact it had on that. We have anecdotal on several pitchers. We have anecdotal on several baseball players that I don't want to mention their names.
Brady
because
Anderson.
They were not officially. Well, I mean, look, I love Luis Gonzalez. His numbers with Houston and Arizona were tremendously different.
Yeah.
Tremendously different. It's hard to ignore that stuff. So this group of people who acts like steroids, this is what the Astros did are way worse. This was a cheat code. Guys with steroids, literally, it was no different than adding a cheat code.
No, increased
home runs by 100%.
No, I mean, I agree wholeheartedly with who wrote the article that how bad steroids, how steroids affected everybody in the
steroids
game.
Steroids were way worse.
Way worse. Way worse. But
anybody
you
saying
can't,
it wasn't, John, it's you, because you, they have an you, agenda against the Astros.
No. And baseball writer, I mean, we're going to do something today on for Sports Map, but you can – baseball writer is stick his head – baseball writer is agenda guy. And if you have the agenda that the Astros and what the Astros did, then you're on that agenda. And baseball guys always defend baseball. He's always – and he'll defend baseball through steroids – But he'll shoot the Astros down because it wasn't good for baseball. If baseball was hurt and damaged by the Houston Astros, but steroids, you know what? That was just the time. That was just the era. And oh well. No. Baseball killed. It killed non-steroid guys. And who's the guy on, not Glanville, who on MLB, and he wrote the article about how much.
Are you sure it wasn't Doug Glanville?
Was it? Yeah, maybe it was Glanville.
Yeah, I think it is because he's the one that's on MLB. Yeah,
how Glanville made the argument, and it was exact. It was dead on, and yet baseball writer is like, "Oh no, you're wrong." And he could, and this was a player who was destroyed by his career was destroyed by steroids. But there's one guy who feels like who's suing the Astros who feels like they ruined his career because he gave up an eight spot to him one time,
and his career is over. Career was not even good,
and he had a six ERA, and nah. but he gave up eight runs to the Astros, so the Astros ruined him.
Outrage culture definitely crept into the Astros thing because
you could
see it through Twitter. Anybody who thinks that steroids single handedly not only eliminated guys from baseball, it also put pressure on other players throughout the minor league system and throughout the Latin American baseball system to start using heavily to have a chance to make a career. That's way worse than what the Astros did.
If you haven't read Doug Glanville's article, go find it, about the Astros versus steroids. It is an excellent, excellent article. 713-780-3776. There's another story in here that involved the Houston Astros, but it's about another team. And we'll do that on the other side.
And to think we found the time.
Sam Windsor with the Houston Sabercats here. Even when I'm down under, I'm listening to ESPN 97.5 on the app. You can stream the boys from anywhere. Mate.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. So, this article is about biggest controversies for each team and talking about them. I didn't know this. There are maybe only two, maybe three pitchers born from 1969 to 1982 who made or are likely to make the Hall of Fame as starters. Pedro Martinez, Roy Halladay, and maybe C.C. Sabathia. I guess C.C.'s going to get in, right?
Yeah, he's in.
Yeah. That's something. That's saying something. But what we were just talking about is probably one of the biggest reasons is those guys pitched during the steroid era. A lot of these guys pitched during the steroid era. You know, in 98, if you were 75, in 98, you would have been prime in your baseball career. And, man, you've got to face guys that are just crushing the ball. The whole league is, you know, roided up. Half the league is roided up. And you're just not going to, you know, put up pitching numbers to get you into the Hall of Fame. But there are a couple of guys, Kerry Wood and Mark Pryor, who maybe fell off in a hurry because of something else. And the Chicago Cubs controversy is, did Dusty Baker ruin Mark Pryor and Kerry Wood? And the talk here is about, you know, how much stress he put on them, how much he pitched them, the pitch count, and whether or not Dusty Baker did ask too much of them. Dusty asked a lot of his two aces. He didn't handle Pryor and Wood the way he would if he could do it today. We know that because, like everything else, he's changed. He's adapted. As we all learned, he learned. That's the hope right now, isn't it?
Who wrote that?
This is Sam Miller is writing this.
Yeah, I don't think Dusty changed is my guess. My guess is he might make some changes, but Dusty Baker is an old school guy, and those guys, they may take more analytics into account, but I think there is a fundamental belief that I played an entire career, two decades or whatever it is, and I watched four-man rotations. I watched guys with complete games. I think Dusty is going to be aggressive, much more aggressive than we've seen in the past when it comes to pitch counts.
Well, I think, and here's the deal, and we saw AJ. I mean, listen, the innings that Verlander, there's a reason that Verlander wasn't good in the postseason last year. 3,000 strikeouts, 300 strikeouts, no hitter, 21 wins. These were all important benchmarks for a 34, 35-year-old pitcher that he hit. By the time the postseason rolled around, Verlander was tired. You can't do that at his age and expect him to be, you know, to be the same guy in the postseason. We saw a younger guy, Gerrit Cole, who throws a lot of fastballs, and we've heard a pitcher say, you know, you throw a lot of fastballs, and guess what? You get stronger as the year goes on. Plus, he's younger, he's bigger, he's stronger. Gerrit Cole was fantastic in the postseason. Verlander, not so much. Now, this may, and now Verlander had surgery as we're going into this season. Luckily, you know, we're going to cut down on this season, because I have a feeling that if Verlander had to throw an entire season here, which he wouldn't have anyway because he had the surgery, he would have missed a month, maybe more, then we would maybe be seeing the very end. With 2 years left on this deal at $66 million, we might be watching the end. This may be the best thing that could have happened to Justin Verlander. How many guys do we see when they have huge innings and have to throw as much as they did the year before that they fall off incredibly the next year? We see this all the time.
That there's going to be a season of some sort? Pardon me? You feel confident there's going to be a season of some sort?
I do.
Because if there's not, it's a disaster. If there is, it's a benefit.
Yes. No, I think that there's going to be an 81-game schedule. I think you're going to have these 10-team divisions. That's not – you have to play nine other teams nine times. You're going to play each team nine times, and you're going to have 81 games. And you will start the postseason at the time that you're supposed to. I think this is all going to start by July.
I'm going to play a little game with you here. I'm going to see about our perception of players and our perception of names and things like that. Give me an idea of what you think the – what do you think the win total was for Mark Pryor?
How many total wins he had in his career?
In his career.
I am going to say Mark Pryor had 84 wins.
42.
Half of what I thought.
He didn't even have 80 decisions. He had 71 decisions. Yeah. He was 42-29. That's an example of how Mark's name he carried a big name because he was really good by his second year.
He was 18 and 6.
But you know, here's his years: 6-6 as a rookie, 18-6, 6-4, 11-7, 1-6 out of the league. He was only in the league for 5 years, and yet when you mentioned Mark Pryor's name, all I could think of was, dude, that dude could go. And then I pulled up his numbers, I'm like, holy crap, he had one season under 3.3. I mean, the numbers don't match the reputation for Mark Pryor. Kerry Wood, how many wins do you think Kerry Wood had?
Now Kerry Wood, total wins in his career, he was around a little bit longer. I'm going to say in the 80s.
That's right, 86. How many years do you think he pitched?
Ended up with Cleveland, right? He pitched 7 years.
He pitched 14 years.
14.
Wow. You see how I would have never, ever, ever guessed that. Kerry Wood became a reliever, and I mean, he had a lot of appearances, and he was with the Chicago Cubs. He came back after his injuries with the Chicago Cubs until 2008, but then he went to Cleveland for a year. No. He was traded from Chicago to Cleveland, and then he was with Cleveland, and he went to New York, and then he went back to the Cubs. He was a reliever. I don't even hardly remember Kerry Wood, the reliever. But Kerry Wood, the reliever, became a thing in 2007. And then from 2007 until he finished in 2012, he was a reliever. I would have never guessed that Kerry Wood played 14 years in the league.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
Never.
No, but how many years did he start?
One, two, three. Well, I'm not counting the year he missed with his arm injury, but 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and then he started in 2006. So, I mean, 9 years, he was in baseball for 9 years when he was a starter. He technically only really started 7 years. Because one year he got four games in and then he was done, and 1 year he missed an entire. And in 98 he could be devastating. What he did to the Astros was absolutely ridiculous. But he had an arm slot that really put a lot of pressure on his arm. And that's a great example of how, you know, Justin Verlander is a guy who is old school Nolan Ryan when it comes to a big guy who throws with a lot of lower body and who really has good mechanics that don't put as much stress on the arm. And I think he's lived his life as a pitcher the way you're supposed to and followed the regimen. By the way, we've got an opportunity to talk to Justin Verlander at 1:30 today, some members of the local media. So we have a chance to find out some of the stuff that they've done, which is very beneficial, maybe his thoughts on the Astros moving forward and Major League Baseball moving forward. But Verlander is, once you have that bad arm stuff going on, because Kerry Wood didn't develop it in the major leagues, I'm sure that was stuff that had developed when he was younger.
Yeah. Let's get some guys in here. We asked for calls, and we're getting some. So they want to talk about who wants to talk about the Astros? LSU Brian wants to talk about the Astros. What do you see, LSU Brian?
What's going on, guys? Hey, so I got a couple things. First, my thought is it's the Astros cheating and then the steroid. I don't think it's anywhere close. I mean, steroid era impacted an entire generation. And, you know, so to me, that you can't even, you know, you can't compare those two. Man, as far as the Astros in that single year, you know, I'm a big Saints fan, so I equate it to, if you think about it like this, so we got all, you know, pissed off and stuff when the pass interference call, all right? And you know, it was a bad call. But we had an opportunity after that to win the game still. All right, so that in itself, just the call, didn't lose us the game. The Saints lost the game. They still had an opportunity to win that game. And I see it the same way as the Dodgers. I mean, we win the World Series. We won it in Game 7 in L.A. You know, so they still have the opportunity to win the game. And I understand, you know, if the sign's still in and stuff, you know, back home affected the games. But you still had the opportunity to win the series in your home stadium where, you know, there could have been no cheating. So they had the opportunity. Just like the Saints had the opportunity to win the game after a blown call, L.A. still had the opportunity to win the game on their home turf. So that's the way I look at it, you know. Appreciate it, guys.
Yeah. Yes, appreciate it.
I don't think he's really a Saints fan. He didn't blame it all on the officiating. That's not a Saints fan.
No, that's not what fans do. There's no question. They have to blame everything. And listen, the Yankees can EAD. Because they, what did they score? A total of 3 runs in Houston? I mean, really? You got beat with Astros banging when you scored 3 runs in 4 games in Houston? EAD, Yankees.
Oh, yeah. They've been able to.
Were the pitchers benefiting? No. Okay. It was the hitters, right? Well, guess what? You scored 3 runs in Houston. So, EAD. It's in the game. Oh, no, that's EA Sports.
Yeah. EA Sports. It's in the game, not EAD. It's in the game. I don't know if EA Sports, do they still use that slug line, Tyler?
I don't think there is an EA Sports anymore.
Oh, yeah. Who do you think makes Madden?
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
I think they might. I don't know. I haven't played a video game in years. So
EAD, it's in the game. Yankee fan.
Yeah, let's just go with that.
We got Paul on the other side, though. It's 844. We've got to catch up. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Welcome back on ESPN 97.5. Some things that we haven't gotten to. We got Paul. We're going to get him in here. But we had the guy from Italy call in, Adam. Okay, so I don't want to hear any biznatches from Katie or Shoot. He's in Italy listening to the show. Ask this guy if Dr. Fauci is a hero in Italy. Are they proud of the Paisan? Of course they are. If Adam's really listening at 3, it's 3 p.m. He told us it was 3 p.m. while he was listening to the show just now, about 20 minutes ago. If Adam's really listening at 3 p.m., ask him what I ended up having for lunch. I call BS. That's not how it works, Jackie. You didn't ask the Italian guy if they were required to play cart path only, or are we the only country suffering? Hashtag John Strong. Yeah, that is. That should be the first question. What's it like there? Is it cart path only? Or do you get to drive around the course? See, we got to drive on the course yesterday out of Wildcat because crowned fairways. It drives faster than any. There are other golf courses that shut down the whole day yesterday. Wildcat, we're driving on the course because it was dry, because it's closer to the sun. Highest elevations in the city of Houston. This guy, hey, this weird author said the Astros scandal will be remembered for 100 years, but he already forgot the Red Sox got punished for the same thing the next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Andy Dalton has been released by the Bengals. That's no surprise.
Andy Dalton, so this makes another, so now you have, I don't think Cam Newton plays football in 2020.
I think
he might be done.
I think he plays when somebody gets hurt.
Yeah, I could see that. I don't think he's on a roster in 2020. I think Andy Dalton will be, and here's why. Low maintenance, high maintenance. It's that simple. Jameis would have been there sooner. I had my neighbor across the street ask, he's a Saints fan, he said, why Jameis? I said, well, Jameis is a legitimate starting quarterback. He just turns it over a ton. And I mean, a ton. A ton. Realistically, quarterbacks like that are not supposed to get starting jobs. The only other guy that I've seen turn it over like that, and it's not as high, is Eli Manning. And I've never understood the love affair with Eli Manning. A couple of miraculous catches, and all of a sudden Eli Manning is like, well, I mean, in the Hall of Fame, if you think about it, he's won a couple of Super. Eli Manning's one of the furthest things I've ever seen from a Hall of Fame quarterback. I'm glad he won his two titles. He didn't have a Hall of Fame career. That's not even debatable.
So I could see, you know what I can see, and this is a Patriots play. They sat. You can see Andy Dalton in that quarterback room.
100%.
Yeah,
Andy Dalton, and it's going to be tough for. That group, because that group has the management, the agency has both Andy Dalton. No. They didn't get Jarrett Stidham. That's right. My marketing guy has both of them, though. I think Dusty has both Jarrett Stidham. But I know the same group who had Andy Dalton was going after Jarrett Stidham, but I don't think they got Jarrett. But you know him. He texts the show sometimes.
Yeah, yep.
But you're right. Andy Dalton will be a Patriot. That's the Patriots' second quarterback.
That is. And Cam Newton, no chance Cam Newton. Andy Dalton, perfect, you know, white guy, really, you know, very quiet like Brady and, you know.
Well, they had Jacoby. I don't know if it's white guy so much as he's not going to be above the team.
Is he white or is he not white?
Well, Jacoby Brissett wasn't. They drafted him.
Yeah.
I think it's a matter of you're not.
They had to get him out of there.
I get it. I don't think it's a racial thing. I think it's
it's Boston.
I think it's Cam Newton doesn't feel like he's going to be
a
quiet team first in the quiet in the building, quiet in the room, the Patriots way, and all that. That doesn't feel like Cam. Cam never felt like a fit for them. The only way he felt like a fit was they needed a quarterback. Cam doesn't feel like a fit for the now. Dalton feels like a fit as a backup, I guess, or maybe a starter, but we finally saw the death of the Patriots. We ain't seeing the same Patriots. Anybody who thinks we are, nope, that same Patriot team doesn't exist anymore. They're finally dead. No Gronk, no Brady, dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dead.
All right, let's get Paul in here. He wants to talk about his Astros. What do you say, Paul? Paul, are you there? He's not there. Okay. He wanted to talk about pitchers. You know what? It's going to be interesting to see, though. What we were talking about was, okay, so this is benefiting Verlander, If we have a season, if we have an 81-game season, I'm predicting it, okay? Maybe 100 games, maybe, maybe. But I'm predicting an 81-game season, and I think this will benefit Justin Verlander greatly. Somebody else said, how about Jackie, I think, when he wasn't being stupid, was saying something stupid, like, what did I have for lunch? He said, with the arm troubles or with the problems with McCullers and Verlander, huge, huge benefit. Yeah, I agree. McCullers coming off now, not having to pitch a whole season, coming off of Tommy John. I think this is a great thing. Now we got to just make sure that he can get, you know, he's got to get his pinpoint. He's got to get his control back. He's got to get command. He's got to get all of those things because he hasn't pitched in quite a while. But maybe right now he's doing all that. I don't know who he's throwing to. Maybe his wife in the backyard. Did you happen to see, have you seen the man and woman who are hitting bombs off of each other?
She took an inside fastball, and you never miss there. You don't want to miss there. She rips
destroyed
that inside fastball. So they've got a plastic bat. It's like wiffle ball, basically. And the first video, the first one I saw was just her. Well, then I saw the entire one where it's both of them. She was a softball pitcher.
And she brought it, and he crushed it.
Oh, I mean, he annihilated it left-handed. Yes. And then she gets up right-handed. And he's throwing, and he misses down and in. And you can even hear him say, oh. Like, you can tell he's either he got hurt or he realized he missed it. She turns on that one and yaks it over their apartments or whatever the hell this
whatever.
Is.
Whatever. I mean, she destroyed. You know what I want?
Throws watching, the bat. The bat
watching both of them. You know what I want? Stalking their kid.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want.
Mm-hmm.
Because she can go, she can hit, she can pitch, and he can hit.
You want to buy? Did you say you want to buy a child?
I'm buying stock in that kid.
You want to partly own a child?
We got to tell Jeff Nelly get on this right now.
And I know it doesn't seem like. Listen, our economy is going to be different moving forward in 2 and 3 months and 4 months. Things are going to be tough. We've got to find new ways to really bolster the economy. I think buying stock in children, John, has some legs.
Lance, I don't know. Lance, were you around for sellusyourkid.com?
Yeah, sell us your kid.
No, I wasn't. No, really. I don't think so. What was
give
that?
Me the VIN, the give me the VIN thing was sell us your car. Give me the VIN.com.
Yeah,
so,
I knew that.
So we were sell us your kid. Wow. So easy, you can do it in your – it's people called in. And they had, you know, what when we put a value on their kid.
Oh, now, I love this idea.
No, it is excellent. It was excellent. And me and Raheel were the John Clay Wolfs of Buy Your Kid. Mm-hmm. And you know, a kid who's okay, a guy called in, I played college basketball, my wife played college basketball, we've got a 2-year-old. Oh my gosh, you know what we get for your kid? I'm telling you, we'll buy it. We're buying high. Okay, we're going to give you thousands for your kid. Then a guy called in. He said, well, I got a 31-year-old who's a heroin addict. Ah, you're not getting that much. You're just not getting that much.
It's
for
not
that
even going to move. You're not. That
no.
kid's not moving.
That's one of those cars that John Clay Wolf won't even touch.
You got to be under 10. You can't be 31.
You can't be 31 with a heroin addiction.
We can't have a clunker.
No.
You're wasting our time.
No, John Clay Wolf, I've asked him before. He said, will you buy like a $2,000? No. I don't buy $2,000 cars. I'm just sorry. We don't do that.
I'll be honest with you.
That's a $200 car.
Yeah, if you called right now, I would. If one of you guys who are listening, or ladies, I would love to play that game. I'd love to ask you questions to get a good feel about mom, dad, kid. And then we'll give you a valuation. That's all. I don't want to buy your kid. I've got too many kids. I don't need to buy kids.
No, which is value,
Now's not a good time for buying kids right now in this economy, but we can give you a valuation to find out, you know, how much more you need to put into them.
Right. No.
In this economy.
Yeah, and whether or not you should invest in your kid.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know what? Give you the idea.
Listen. Do you get hitting instructors? Do you get, you know, basketball coach? Whatever. Do you buy them ice skates to play? All of these things. We can help you with that, obviously. Or you should just listen. This kid's got no shot.
They're in the Woodlands, John. He's a prospect for the Mets, and she's a pitcher for the Scrapyard Dogs, a local pro women's softball team, is what
really
just came in. Yeah.
Okay, they got to have a kid.
Oh, you got to get us there. Yeah, you got to get us their name so we can find out if they're going to, if we can get in early and make an early investment. Maybe an IPO on their child.
Raheel joins us on the other side. Name.
ESPN 97.5.